From WNYC, this is The Sporkful. It's not for foodies, it's for eaters. I'm Dan Pashman. And hey, friends, it's the end of the year. We made it. I'm going to, you know, I don't know if you guys know this, but I often stand up when I'm recording, and I'm going to sit down. Hang on. I'm going to sit down, put my feet up. It's the end of the year. Take a load off. Take it easy. And why don't you have a seat, too? Yeah, did I just kick the soundboard? It's time to relax, you guys. It's the end of the year. It's time to take a breath. It's time to take stock. It's time to look ahead. And it's time to observe two year-end rituals, traditions, here at the Sporkful. One of them we skipped last year, but we're bringing it back. And that is that I'm going to pick my favorite episode of the Sporkful from this past year. I'm sure you have your favorite, but when I pick my favorite, it actually isn't necessarily my favorite in every respect, but I'm picking it as my favorite because usually it's a weird one, and it's one that I think that maybe some people might have skipped over, and I put it back in the feed because I want to make sure, because Ann and I really liked it, and so we're about to play that for you. But before that, I want to let you know that at the end of this, we're going to observe our other classic year-end Sporkful tradition, and that is that I'm going to reveal my New Year's food resolution. The food that I resolve to eat more of in the new year. This past year, 2015, it was MSG, monosodium glutamate. And I got to say, A+. I vastly increased my consumption of MSG. I drink Maggi sauce by the gallon. I sprinkle MSG powder into any sort of soup or stew or sauce that I'm making. And it is fantastic. I haven't always done so well with the New Year's food resolutions. One year I wanted to eat more fried plantains, and I just didn't increase my consumption as much as I had hoped. One year the resolution was grilled onions. I did pretty well at that. I would say I got a B+ on that. So at the end of this episode, I'm going to reveal my New Year's food resolution for 2016, and I want to hear yours. We're going to put a post up at sporkful.com. You can comment there or tweet me or on our Facebook page, facebook.com/sporkful. Go there, and I want to hear your New Year's food resolution. What food do you resolve to eat more of in the new year? But first, you know, it really wasn't actually that long of a discussion. Ann and I kind of knew pretty quickly that sort of the episodes that were kind of weird and kind of different and might possibly have been overlooked, but that we really loved, this was the one we wanted to make sure you heard. So let's go to the phones. Hi, who's this?
Hi, Dan. This is Max from Denver, Colorado.
What can I do for you?
So I'm pretty familiar with, you know, drinking in the shower, shower beers, that kind of thing. Maybe it's after a long day of work. Maybe I've been working outside. That's usually the best shower beer time. But I was kind of perturbed when a friend a while back actually talked about eating in the shower. So I thought you and all your gustatory wisdom might have some thoughts about food in particular in the shower.
Well, I do want to talk about food in the shower, but first, wait, let's skip back. You said you're real familiar with shower beers.
Yeah, absolutely.
What types of beer do you think are best in the shower?
You know, when it's hot out, I don't want to drink like a heavy stout or something. So it's kind of the same in the shower. I want something lighter, maybe even a fruit beer, something like that.
Well, Max, you get an A+ because I'm with you 100% in the sense that my beer preference is like 90% based on the weather, like the kind of beer I want at a given time. It's like 90% the weather and 10% have I done manual labor in the past hour, you know?
Yeah.
And,
yeah, I'm totally on board with that.
Right. Because so for me, the weather dictates to some degree the temperature of the shower, how hot I want the water to be. And when it's the dead of winter, I like a hot shower. When it's hot out, I want a cool, not cold, but a cool shower. Do you get the chain reaction I'm talking about? So the weather affects the shower, which affects the beer. Do you drink different shower beers at different times of year?
When I'm in the shower, it's usually hot. Like I don't usually mess around with cooler temperatures, even if it's hot outside. So I usually like to go with that same principle of contrasting the beer with the weather. So I'm usually if I'm drinking a shower beer, the heaviest I go is maybe an IPA. Otherwise, it's going to be like your light beers or like I said, something fruitier.
So you live in Denver, where I understand it can get cold sometimes. You're telling me in the dead of winter in Denver, there's a foot and a half of snow on the ground, and it's 20 degrees outside, and you've been outside, and you're cold, and you come inside, and you crank that hot water up, you get in the shower, and that nice hot shower, and you're drinking, like, a Limerita? Like, I mean...
Now we got to define what beer is, man.
All right, Limerita, that was a low blow. I'm sorry, Max. But you get what I'm saying. It's hard for me to square that kind of weather in Denver, coming inside for a hot shower, and now you're drinking, like you said, like a light fruity beer, a summertime beer.
Well, that's fair. That's fair. That might be one of those instances where I turn to, like, an IPA or something. But I would still feel really strange turning to something, even like an amber.
It's interesting because you happen to have caught me in a real Guinness phase, a stout phase of life, when I've actually been enjoying a lot of Guinness, perhaps is the plural, in hot weather, like outdoors. I've been bringing Guinness to the beach, and I find it goes great.
Interesting.
So I feel like I actually might argue that the right kind of not overly heavy or overly rich or overly alcoholic stout could be like the perfect shower beer, because for me lately it does work in the hot weather. So it works in the hot and the cold.
That is an interesting theory. Maybe I'll have to give it a shot.
So let's move on to the thing you really wanted to talk about, Max, which is eating in the shower. You have not done that, am I right?
Right, yeah.
But no, you have a friend.
That seems incredibly foreign to me, sure.
Okay, well, I will go along with this premise of yours that you're asking for a friend.
Appreciate it.
But what does your friend eat in the shower, first of all?
Yeah, well, she says her ultimate shower food, and this really boggles my mind, is ice cream sandwiches, believe it or not. So she says the melt, I think, is the melt factor isn't really that big of a deal. And since you're in the shower, whatever melt factor there is rinses off pretty easily. I still don't think ice cream is an appropriate shower food, though.
Wait, so what's this friend's name? What's her first name?
My friend's name is Gina.
Gina. Okay. I feel like I need to talk to Gina about this. I have a lot of questions for her. I don't know that you're going to be able to answer all my questions, Max.
That's really fair.
But I think really the ideal that we want to get to is like the idea of something that's improved. You know,
right.
Like,
okay.
Like there is something special about a shower beer. It feels a little bit funny, but it feels like a treat. That could make the case for the ice cream sandwich. I got to talk to your friend. Can you put me in touch with Gina?
Definitely.
All right, Max in Denver, thanks a lot for the call.
Thank you, Dan.
Hello?
Hey, Gina, it's Dan Pashman from The Sporkful. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So I was just talking to your friend Max, and he had called in to ask about eating and drinking in the shower. And in the course of our conversation, he mentioned that you eat ice cream sandwiches in the shower.
It is true.
Oh, man, I'll bet that you can't wait to hear Gina make the case for an ice cream sandwich in the shower. But you're going to have to wait, because this is what we in the business call a cliffhanger. When we come back, I'll continue my conversation with Gina. How do you eat an ice cream sandwich in the shower? And can the shower actually make an ice cream sandwich better? Plus, the results of my own independent analysis. Stick around. Welcome back to The Sporkful from WNYC. I'm Dan Pashman. Please make sure you subscribe to this podcast in iTunes so you never miss an episode. And while you're there, if you're so inclined, please leave us a good review. That helps other people discover our show. Go ahead. You can do it right now. Just press subscribe while you're listening to what I'm saying right now, unless you're driving or in the shower. Speaking of which, let's get back to my conversation with Gina. So describe to me the technique. You're in the shower. You have an ice cream sandwich in one hand. How do you eat it so that it doesn't get wet?
It's basically, how you would eat it regularly. You just kind of angle yourself so that the hand holding the ice cream sandwich is not under the water. And then you move your head forward and you move your head backward as you're eating. You could completely step out of the water, but don't know, some people don't like the cold, so.
I have to say that's not how you would normally eat an ice cream sandwich if you weren't in the shower. In fact, it's the exact opposite because you are keeping the ice cream sandwich stationary and moving the rest of your body to it, which is the exact opposite of how most people do it out of the shower, is that they bring the ice cream sandwich to their face.
I guess. It's all, I don't know, everyone's got their own thing.
I'm not judging, Gina. I'm just saying let's be clear about what's happening here.
All right.
Do you at any point put the sandwich down somewhere in the shower, or is it always in your hand?
No, it's always in my hand, and that's part of the reason why I prefer the ice cream sandwich to other foods, is because it's a one-handed food, and it's not in any kind of, you know, like vessel, like a bowl or a plate that will collect the water. So it's a one-handed approach.
But that means that you're showering one-handed also.
Yes.
One of the things that frustrates me about ice cream sandwiches is that typically they have a very narrow window of optimal consumption in terms of their temperature. Because when you first get them, they're often frozen solid, and the ice cream doesn't taste as good. The cookie's too hard. They're not great. But when they get very melty, then they're falling apart in your hand. And so you have to eat this relatively large thing when it's just at the right level of meltiness. And it intrigues me that perhaps the steam heat from the shower could defrost the ice cream sandwich and get it to a better place faster. Is that something that happens?
That does happen, yeah. It doesn't melt immediately, so I do think you would have a more optimal time to eat.
Compare it to eating an ice cream sandwich on a hot, sunny day outside. Do you feel like you have more time to eat it, less time to eat it, or the same amount of time?
I would say, provided it doesn't get wet and gross and soggy, I would say more time.
Okay, so you are making the argument that in terms of eating an ice cream sandwich at the optimal temperature, that the shower is better than eating it on a hot, sunny day?
Well, I would say in terms of eating it at the optimal temperature, terms of experience, probably not, but temperature-wise, yeah.
To me, temperature is the biggest factor. Like, to me, getting the ice cream sandwich at the right temperature is the biggest issue in ice cream sandwich consumption.
I could see that.
So I feel like if you've discovered a way to lengthen that window, that's a big discovery. That should not be taken lightly. Tell me about the biggest ice cream sandwich in the shower disaster you ever had. Like, has it ever really gone off the rails?
One time I did drop it, and that was heartbreaking because it was such a waste of a good ice cream sandwich. The ice cream melted pretty much right away, like as the water hit it, and it was just washing down the drain, and then the cookies got all soggy, and it was just sad.
Did you clean your shower?
Oh, yeah, of course.
That is really sad. That is a terrible feeling. I'm very sorry for your loss, Gina.
Oh, thank you.
If anyone's listening to this and they're tempted to try it for the first time, what's your advice?
I would say just go for it. I mean, I learned by doing. Just you got to take the chance and figure out what works best for you. And don't get it wet.
Well, Gina in Colorado, good luck with your next ice cream sandwich.
Thank you.
At this point, you're probably thinking, I guess I'll move on to another topic. How much more could he actually say about eating and drinking in the shower? Well, we're all about the deep dive here on The Sporkful, and it just so happens that Sporkful contributor Alight Trong is an expert on eating and drinking in the shower. In the world of our show, this is like her beat. So I asked Alight to come into the studio and share some pointers. Alight, drop some knowledge on me. How do you set yourself up for shower eating and drinking success?
Get all of your snacks and your drinks right away out of the soap zone. It's going to be kind of horrible if you don't.
And by soap zone, you mean the area where soap could be sprayed?
Yes, soap, shampoo, anything kind of like that. Try not to actively wash your hair or body as you're eating and drinking, obviously.
Well, you say obviously. I mean, before I talked to Gina, I would have said, obviously, don't try to eat an ice cream sandwich in the shower. So Assume nothing is obvious here, Light.
Okay. Maybe not obviously. Do not actively wash your snacks and drinks. Yes. So things to definitely consider while drinking in the shower. The best things are kind of the same temperature as your preferred shower temperature. So say you are kind of a cool summer water temperature shower person, and you can bring in all sorts of things there, like iced coffee or cold beer, chilled wine. If you're a very hot showerer, then you will, you can do hot coffee, you can do soup, you can do all sorts of hot drinks like that in thermoses.
So you think the temperature of what you're consuming should match the temperature of the shower? You don't want to go for contrast.
Yeah, that also depends. Another factor in there is like how long you typically spend in the shower, right? Like it's probably fine to take, you know, a chilled beer into a lukewarm to warm shower. But if you shower typically for like 45 minutes or something like that, it'll be pretty gross soon.
Right. How long is your typical shower?
Mine would generally be half an hour. I like a long shower.
You like a long shower.
Yeah,
okay.
But also at night, so I don't, you know.
You're not in a rush.
Yes.
Talk to me about like the best shower eating or drinking experience you ever had.
Let's see. I come home from work. I have my beer ready. My beer bottle fits perfectly on my sort of sill of my bathtub. So I keep that out of the soap zone. And then I also have my cheese sticks and my apples and nectarines, which also are perfect shower snacks. Doesn't really matter if they get watered down a little bit. Ice cream sandwiches may be pushing it unless you are actively eating it outside of the soap and water zone.
Cheese sticks, you said?
Individually wrapped cheese sticks, like string cheese, perhaps. Slim Jims work, too.
Like, how? I totally get it. Certain foods can get a little bit wet, and it's not that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
But I would feel a little bit weird about, like, if I was holding a Slim Jim and it got wet, it might not affect the Slim Jim, but, like, the water is going to run down over the Slim Jim and then run down onto the floor of the shower,
mm-hmm.
and down the shower drain. And now I feel like I'm kind of taking a shower in Slim Jim water.
I think that should probably pass pretty soon. You can power through that. if you don't actively stand underneath a shower head, and maybe you just like, and if you already know this about yourself, that you're a little squeaked out by beef jerky byproducts in the shower, then don't worry about it. Back out of the shower head directly and eat all of your beef jerky.
Are you still dating? May I ask, are you still dating the guy that you were dating last time?
I am, yeah. Mm-hmm.
How's he doing?
He's doing well, yeah.
Does he eat or drink in the shower?
No. I think he generally shames me whenever I mention actively eating and trying to fit like dinner time around the shower. Right. Yeah. So I think he refuses.
So, but does he get upset? Like if he comes into the shower and he like if he comes into the shower and the shower smells a little like a Slim Jim, mm-hmm. like does that ever happen? Is he like a light? Come on.
that hasn't happened yet. I think it's probably considerate to just run the shower a little longer. If it's like, oh, I got out of the shower and it still smells like beef and cheese, I'm going to go ahead and run the shower for like one more second.
Is there a food or a drink that you can say was actually improved? The eating or drinking experience was made better by the fact that you're in the shower? Or is it just sort of the luxuriousness of just like treating yourself well?
The treat yourself factor comes in, and I'm not sure if it's just a placebo effect in that way, but I have made myself soup in a thermos. I was a little bit sick, and I was like, okay, I'm just going to take a bath or take a shower, bring in something with me. So I made jalapeno miso soup in a thermos, and I'm not sure if it's the location I was, but it was probably like the best top five soups I've had.
In your whole life?
In life.
Not just shower soups?
Not just shower soups.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a spill?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've definitely... so when I was doing some research, I haven't written this piece yet, but I brought a wine glass into the shower, and then I knocked it over and broke the glass in the shower, so I did have to evacuate right away.
That's going
to
ruin your shower.
It did ruin my shower. So ever since then, I discovered the wine thermos, which is a clear thermos that is wine glass shaped.
Oh, but it's got a lid.
Yes.
And it's not breakable.
It's very good. It's very popular. I think it's mostly marketed to moms, but I definitely, childless me, definitely bought one.
Right. It's marketed to women who need to, like, sneak.
Multitask.
They need to get wine in, you know, you wouldn't normally have time for wine.
Efficient, smart women.
Right. Is there anything you would say absolutely, definitely never to be consumed in the shower?
I would definitely say stay away from steaks. Yeah. Steaks are not ideal for showers.
Yeah, anything that requires a fork and knife.
I think that's right.
All right. Elite Trong, Sporkful contributor, tech person at Vox Media. Follow her on Twitter at Elite Trong. Elite spelled like elite.
Spelled like elite, yep.
ELITETRUONG. Thanks, Elite.
Thanks so much, Dan.
If you want Elite's recipe for jalapeno miso soup in the shower, we'll post that at sporkful.com. And yes, the recipe does tell you when to preheat the shower. I did try the ice cream sandwich in the shower, and here's what I have to say about that. It did lengthen the window of opportunity. The ice cream sandwich did melt slower than it does on a hot, sunny day. So from that standpoint, it was good. But it's really hard to wash yourself while holding an ice cream sandwich. Like, maybe if you shower one-handed all the time, you got it down, but, you know, like, how do you get the shampoo out of the bottle? You hold the bottle of shampoo in one hand and squeeze the shampoo out into your other hand. So you can't do that if you're holding an ice cream sandwich. I guess you could squeeze the shampoo out of the bottle straight onto your head, but then you have no idea how much shampoo is going onto your head. You can't control that, and that opens up a whole other can of worms. So I found it to be a subpar bathing experience, I gotta say. But I'm glad I tried it, and I think you should try it too. And I should say, special thanks to Mrs. Sporkful. She is always such a good sport. She, like, barely shrugged when I told her I was going upstairs to eat an ice cream sandwich in the shower for work. Right. Okay, we're back to the present, back to year-end mode, back to me sitting with my feet up on the soundboard, and Sanity has her feet up. It's the end of the year. We're reclining. We're enjoying ourselves. And I hope you enjoyed that episode about eating and drinking in the shower. Now we're at the point where I'm going to unveil my New Year's food resolution, the food I resolve to eat more of in the new year. And Sanity, can I get a sound effect of a drum roll, please? Wait, let me mic it. Get over here. Come here.
All right.
Do it on the table.
Do it on the table. Ready?
In 2016, I resolve to bake my own bread. From scratch, no mixes. I have never baked my own bread. And it is my resolution in 2016 to do that multiple times and to get halfway decent at it. What do you think of that, Anne?
I actually went through a phase where I did that. Can I make a recommendation?
Please.
Listen to Wu-Tang while you do it.
What song?
What was their first album that, like, every song is awesome on? It's like Wu-Tang. I don't know.
That's the one I got to listen to?
That will put you in the mood you should be in for bread baking.
What mood should I be in?
Oh, like playful aggression. It's good stress relief.
Because you're kneading the bread?
Totally.
Okay, Wu-Tang. Got it. What about you, though, Anne? What's your New Year's food resolution?
Well, I think I'm going to take a cue from our shower eating and drinking episode and try to do more of that.
Are you just saying that because you're a good producer and you thought that would be a fitting end to this episode?
Well, as a producer, I can't deny that that is a wonderful way to make everything come together. But no, it's true. I love the shower and I love food and drink. So I think that, you know, I'll figure it out.
All right, guys. So that's my and Anne's New Year food resolutions. What's yours? I want to hear from you guys. What food do you resolve to eat more of in the new year? You can go to sporkful.com or you can go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/sporkful, or just tweet it to me at @thesporkful. And I want to hear from you. What do you guys got on your plate? And also, if you made a resolution with us last year, I want to hear a report back. I want you to grade yourself. How'd you do? And what are you eating? Looking forward to the next year. So as we come to a close here at the end of the year, I want to say thank you to all of you for listening, because doing this show is a lot of fun. But mostly it's fun because you listen and you respond and we all connect. Otherwise, I'd just be talking to myself and that would be less fun. So, happy, healthy new year, and we'll see you in 2016. This show is a production of WNYC and The Sporkful. It's produced by Ann Sani and me. Special thanks to Paula Schumann. Until next time, I'm Dan Pashman.
And I'm Tyler from Redding, Connecticut, reminding you to eat more, eat better, and eat more better.